Blog Talk Radio.
Bang! He stares in the eyes of the man who despises him.
And you see, this is my real mother. Said when I came out the womb, my little black sister was raised in the air like bugs. And she was proud, because I was going to take after her and not give it to her.
Welcome to Flight 3D. This is your captain speaking. We ask that you please note the emergency exits and safety signs in the event our journey becomes just too deep.
All right, we're going to get into the language that I like. The Lord is powerful, right?
Super Nigga can't put a basketball down. He leap tall, Super Nigga, in a single bound. Super Nigga ain't got no degrees, he ain't got no time for that. Street corner, crack houses, projects, his natural habitat. Super Nigga got super strength, speed, and agility. So it's understandable when the cops beat him down to the best of their ability. Super Nigga has no supervision. Instead, he has super issues. Between 17 and 25 super inches, used to satisfy them super sisters.
Well, they clone little black girls who won't die but fight. Well, they clone little black girls who supplement stamina for endless struggles to write. Well, they clone little black girls like Asada, Sonia, Tubman, knowing what they know. Well, they clone little black girls like Nikki, Zora, Mommy, Grandma. Who orchestrate train?
Ain't nobody got more than us. Aspiring artists spit saliva in their palms, producing hits, making noise with their fists. Lanky limbros with afros break beats and pop lock on dance flows. Made a
let me talk to you for a second.
You got the power, you got the strength, and you ain't alone, we got each other, we gonna win, we got, I know your weakness, I know your shame, I know your highs, I know your lows, I know your pain, I know what you're thinking.
Digital drummer Jim Newsom with Urban Tech Talk on the radio, and I am Jacqueline Taylor Adams, your co-host for this moment in time. And Mr. Jim Newsom, he will be back on in a moment. I think his call dropped and we'll be waiting for him to come back on. Today we are talking art and tech in the Urban Tech Fair. Our special guest today is David Muhammad, and he is the lead for the art and tech team for the Urban Tech Fair, as well as city leader for the San Francisco Bay Area for the Urban Tech Fair. Hello, David. How are you?
Fine, Jackie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and I'm going to bring Mr. Newsom on so he can greet you as well.
Okay, that sounds great.
Hi, Jim. Jim, can you hear us? Alrighty. He may be having a little trouble, reception trouble where he is. But, oh, yes, he just dropped again. So he'll be on. So, David, please share with us, you know, the world wants to know, who is David Muhammad and what's your claim to fame?
Well, I can't really say have a claim to fame, but I do have a background in the music business and the music industry, working with various different artists, producing music videos, directing music videos, and doing sales for different video film production companies. And we've done videos for Hurricane Chris, Webby, 3-6 Mafia, a lot of them. And some of the videos were like in the top BET, MTV rotation. So here in the Bay Area, I have a background in promotions as far as clubs, concerts, and different things like that. But I was interested in the Urban Tech Fair because of the idea of bridging the gap with technology. And I have a technology background working with Web 2.0, Game Developers Convention. And this is something that I thought was right up my background. So I joined the Urban Tech Fair and been with you guys for a little over a year now, so I'm happy things is working out well, and we're pushing towards bridging this gap in technology.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's a great amount. So I know one of our goals with the art and tech team and Urban Tech Fair, one is to use art to promote technology in a favorable manner, as well as use technology to showcase art in a more positive form of art. Now, I'm just checking to see if Mr. Newsom was able to get back on. And in showcasing a more positive form of art, if you could just, you know, again, let us know. I had two things for you. First, if you could just let us know, you know, why you are so interested in more positive forms of art, you know, compared to, you know, what you've experienced, especially since you experienced some, you know, big names, charting artists and videos. And then if you could let us know, how does technology tie into the music industry?
Okay. Well, one of the things I feel this is very important because there is a big gap in technology within the minority community, in particular the black community. And with hip-hop, I feel really that we are losing it a bit with hip-hop because these big record labels are in control of what we listen to, and they dictate the style of clothes that we wear. They dictate the artist's lyrics, and it's not conducive to uplifting our community because a lot of it is demeaning and offensive. And right now, you know, you feel that even in the R&B, the same thing is happening where the styles, the culture, you know, hip-hop really started off black. And, you know, right now it's multicultural, but, you know, I'm really afraid that probably in the next 25 years, if we allow hip-hop to take its course, it'll be a lost culture, just like rock and roll. You know, a lot of people think rock and roll is a white, but, you know, Chuck Berry, a lot of people probably don't know because it's so long ago, but Chuck Berry and artists that were black in the South, they used to go on different circuits, and they call that rock and roll. So same with blues. So I want to try and preserve the hip-hop culture and use technology to preserve the hip-hop culture and uplift the community rather than tear down the community, because these big record companies are out there and they are in control of what we listen to. But now there's different forms of technology. We have YouTube. We have Pandora Radio, subscription services like Rhapsody. We have some of the big name moguls in the industry. They're kind of shying away from mainstream big company, mainstream and big companies, and going towards like YouTube and independent film. Spike Lee has a project where he just reached out to do some crowdfunding with a Kickstarter project to help support his film. Russell Simmons, he just started his own company that's going to have a platform for up-and-coming artists to promote and showcase via YouTube rather than on trying to get on MTV or something like that. So, I mean, it's all changing, and these things are not coming from people that aren't heavily into the industry, like Spielberg, Lucasfilm. They even said that the industry has changed. So you don't have to go through all these big companies like Universal and to promote your music and make money. You could become independent. And what we're trying to do here with Urban Tech Fair is bring something that's positive and uplifting and could help the community rather than hurt the community.
Okay. Now, from your experience in technology, you said you were working with gaming?
Yeah, it was called the Game Developers Convention. It was a large convention. They probably had about 90,000 people show up. And it was companies like Sony, EA Sports, Electronic Arts, those companies, and a lot of developers would come, and then there was a lot of schools that would have their students attend, and the schools would promote their programs, because the future of gaming has really taken off in the last 5 or 6 years. You know, now there's music in all the games, there's the graphic arts is growing, because a lot of people are not watching cable like they used to. You can pretty much get your Xbox, your PlayStation, and you could use Netflix. You could, you know, everything's changing. Your iPhone, your smartphone, and you're even playing games on there, games on the laptop, tablet, or whatever. So that's taken more of the market and taken away the market of actual television that we normally watch. So I had a chance to work with them and had a chance to see how the industry has grown, because there wasn't really a lot of blacks in gaming at the time, but now there's a growing number of blacks that's producing games. And so.
All right. So So I guess the next phase, just to let everybody know, as far as when we open, I know you guys were like really surprised, like, wow, what's that? So now that's a double conundrum, because first, that wasn't supposed to be our opening song, but that is the theme song for Master Griot Radio, or theme mix. It is a mix of spoken word, and it's called the MGP, the Master Griot Project Mix. And it is a mix of spoken word. And then we went to Power, which is one of our first opening songs for the Digital Drummer. And I just went ahead and played Power right after the MGP mix just to demonstrate some of the type of, you know, art that will be coming through as far as musically and spoken word and the diversity, because we went from a spoken word mix that seemed pretty powerful and conscious so that people can get an idea of what we're, you know, talking about, a more conscious and more relevant. And even though that was a spoken word mix, all of those artists are straight from the hip-hop generation. And if you would compare their delivery to, except for Lois Moses, who was in there with Kim Cone, Little Black Girls, and Lois is older, but if you take a Lois and the Last Poets and all, their delivery style is one way. And then you take the other artists who are younger, who like, you know, 10, 15 years younger than Lois, their delivery is, you know, more hip-hop style, but yet it's all powerful. But that kind of shows, you know, the culture of hip-hop. And it's conscious, you know. All of that would be very relevant, the way hip-hop started and, you know, the beginnings of hip-hop. Now, and then Power is, again, and this is what amazes me, that rock and roll is started by a black person, Chuck Berry, all of that. That the biggest place that blacks get down, then the hardest thing for them to really break big in is rock. Because there are a lot of blacks that do rock, but they're really looked on negatively by all, a lot of times in the industry when they do rock. They're like, you know, you're not going to make it being black and rock. And so it was real interesting that you said that fact. But that's a piece, pop rock, I guess. I don't know, how would you classify that Power piece that came on? You got the Power. How would you classify that, David, far as genre-wise?
I really feel that's still part of hip-hop because the beat, the music, the swing beat, and I think that's, you know, what we'll be looking for as far as when we hold our series of live interactive freestyle performances, you know, with the beat makers with rhythm. You know, we want to have ciphers and spoken words with rhythm. So that song had a lot of rhythm to it. It had a swing beat. It gave me an idea of the music they play in D.C., you know. So I really like it. I was listening to it as I was holding on. It's nice.
Yeah, okay. That's real interesting because he's an MC producer. He's produced for every major hip-hop act from Mos Def to, you know, all of them. But it's interesting that you said that. That's why I feel that no matter the genre, it seems like hip-hop, you know, hip-hop babies have their own flow that's still identifiable. And I'm going to bring Mr. Jim Newsom on. Hold on. Hi, Jim.
How are you doing?
We have you this time. We got you.
I kept getting dropped in the car.
I know. You tried to bring you on before.
So how are we
going?
So
say hello to us.
Hey, hold on one second. Okay, I'm here with you. I'm trying to get situated.
Okay. Well, you know, we have our own David Muhammad on the line.
My number one Bay Area brother.
Hey, good brother. How you feel tonight?
I'm doing fine, David. Always
yes,
good
sir.
To hear your voice.
It's always a pleasure to hear yours too, brother.
So, Jim, you know, we had David introduce himself, and he shared with everyone about, you know, being from the Bay Area, his background in the music industry as a director of video, a producer of video, and sales, you know, selling video, and how he's worked with artists such as, you know, You said Three Mafia? What was their name?
Three Six Mafia was a Grammy Award winner. Yeah, they had that.
Yeah, they were pretty big on the West Coast. I'm surprised you don't know them.
No, I know them. I was missing the name. Sometimes I miss. I know 3-6 Mafia. They're not just big on the West Coast. Like you said, they're Grammy and winning. You know, they're well known. But he was saying they work with a lot of artists and their videos, you know, top, you know, a lot. They had a few videos that top, you know, charted in the top 10 on like MTV and, you know, various rotations. And so, and then he talked about his background with gaming, working with a big gaming convention, and then his desire with art, as far as being more positive. He said one of his goals is to make it, you know, recognized, to preserve hip-hop, because hip-hop is getting so away from its beginning and its roots, and he's afraid that soon. And I could give you a spoken word piece that talks about that, that one day people are going to be thinking Eminem created hip-hop. But, you know, that we're getting, you know, we don't, you know the roots of hip-hop and music and, and he wants to use it to empower especially African-Americans. And just more positive, because the negativity that is introduced into hip-hop, you know, by the mainstream and, you know, house demeaning and including R&B. And so he was just talking about, you know, that's one of his goals, to be more positive and to, you know, show the true history.
I know the show is tonight is based on the arts and entertainment, Brother Muhammad has a great resume on that side, but as a social activist too, he needs to brag on what he's doing on the community, what he's doing with working with coding groups, how he's working with the urban tech fair as the city leader in the Bay Area, organizing different churches and other organizations over there as we prepare to enter the Bay Area. In fact, he was the one that came up with the idea of, Jim, why can't we just do an urban tech fair simultaneously on both sides of the Bay, San Francisco and Oakland? I said, hey, the brother's brilliant. The brother, I always say you can tell a leader because leaders do. And Brother Muhammad is a natural leader. He's been involved in tech fairs from day one. He makes all the calls. He makes all the different programs. I just have to applaud him, and I'm so thankful to have someone of his caliber on our team.
Yes. Well, he did share, like I said, he shared his background in technology, and we introduced him as being a city leader for the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as the team leader for the art and tech team. And, you know, he did share on that level. So, but you added a little bit more to it. He was talking about gaming a little bit more. But that's where we were when you came on. We were just talking about the show open with an unscheduled poetry mix, which is the theme for the Master Grill Radio, but it normally doesn't open with that. And then we played The Power, which is one of our opening songs. So I just asked for his feedback on, you know, what was opening, you know, as to the type of, you know, I guess content more he's looking for. And then I thought the Power song was something a little bit more relevant. I thought more like, you know, a rock or pop, whatnot. But I asked him from his, you know, experience with genre. And again, he said that he felt it was hip-hop. And that's why I said it was interesting, because, you know, the artist has a very strong, you know, hip-hop background. So at this point, kind of...
David, why don't you bring me up to date on where the art and entertainment team is now. You know, we've gotten Ernie Singleton on board the Urban Tech Fair. He's now officially endorsed as the former president of MCA Records.
Well, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So we've got to get him on your team. He's doing a program here in the school system in Los Angeles where he uses music as a way to entice the kids into the class, but his real focus is on the business of music, distribution, publishing, and all the other aspects of, on the money side of music.
Yeah, we have to hook him up with Junior Music Executives, which is a program they have here in Philadelphia where they teach young people the business side of the industry.
But David,
if you could, go ahead. I think Jim asked if you could bring us up to date on what the art and tech team is doing.
Oh, the art and tech team, we have two different cities that are focusing on a live, interactive, multi-genre series of freestyle performances that will have beat ciphers, spoken word, rap, dance, graffiti, R&B songs, singing, instruments, like if you want to play an instrument or whatever, video, visual arts, graffiti, all under one showcase that will be live stream. Hopefully, we hope to have it live stream. We want to have listening booths where artists could feature their upcoming projects, have people listening to them in advance and give ratings on their music. We want to try and limit this to people that have some sort of inspiring and uplifting music that's conducive to building a community rather than the bitches, hoes, guns, killed you, you know, that type of stuff. So this is what the Urban Tech Fair is doing. So right now we're just getting our dates together in different cities in order that's going to participate and getting our sponsors and things like that right now. So.
And, David, could you also share what how the Art and Tech is participating with PR, how we're using art to promote, how we plan to use art to promote technology?
Well, part of it is like will be to promote STEM. And to promote STEM, we'll have a theme song set up that will promote technology and STEM, that's science, technology, engineering. So we want to be able to have artists promote science and technology through our theme song and through some of the songs that's being played and through spoken word at the showcase.
Okay. And also we'll be also looking for artists to do visual representations of STEM as well, right?
Right, right. I left out the video and visual
art. Yeah. So I'm going to bring, Jim, I'm going to bring you back on because I know you want to comment.
Just about to say another thing, too, another resource we have is Chuck D is a big supporter of the Urban Tech Fair. And he's another resource that we can turn to. I'm also talking with Virgil Roberts, the former president of Solar Records. He's very active in the nonprofit community now. He's still managing a few artists. But we have a lot of resources that we can bring to the Art Tech team in terms of developing workshops and tracks that will not only highlight STEM, but also the business side, you know, because our thing is access, education, and commerce. Who's Tommy Bottoms that Jackie's always talking about with his spoken word piece? You know, we need to encourage more positive stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy Vines is a spoken word artist. He's also a journalist, and he is a he's a genius. I mean, he's a you know, qualified genius as we define it by IQ in our society. And it doesn't take you a minute but to understand it in his mind. But he's also he's a social commentator. He's an economist, and he speaks on economy and different things. But because of that, he did a piece on deaf poetry, and that was out. It's called Basic Economics, and I think it is one of the most watched videos from deaf poetry. And places like Freakonomics and, you know, various different, you know, mainstream economic papers and establishments online, they actually, first, it's really funny because what Tommy does in Basic Economics is he breaks down the entire American economic system, capitalism. He breaks it down in a 3.5-minute poetry piece, and all through urban vernacular. He said, if you can flip an ounce into a key, ain't no reason why you can't hustle this Dow Jones Industrial. And it is such a lesson in economics. You can just, all you have to do is Google it and see the comments. There are Harvard graduates and graduates from other Ivy League schools. He said he paid all his money, went to school as an economic major. And Tommy broke down economics and made it so plain and understandable in that one piece. And so it is, and he did this back, I think, I don't know, maybe 2003, 2004. At the latest, it was 2005, but it, you know, it's still so talked about because he was able to take such plain language and
If I remember correctly, Jackie, weren't you trying to negotiate with Tommy to do a custom piece just for the Urban Tech Fair?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. He definitely. We just, you know, we're just working on a sponsorship and then, our agreement as far as, you know, the copyrights and all, but he's definitely willing. And, you know, that's his asset, but to be able to, you know, break down technology or STEM and really make it plain, you know. So when you have somebody that...
looks like you got all of those.
And so, yes. So that is one of our goals with the Urban Tech Fair. And I forgot the part that you just mentioned, Jim. We have the PR part. Then, of course, the seminars and webinars, because that's part, you know, of the Urban Tech Fair. You know, we have tracks on everything. So, you know, that's the education part. And the part about... you know, the business, as well as, you know, it's just important. I just hope one of our roles is, as a byproduct of what we do with the art and tech, is to show the importance of art. Because, you know, art is something that they're attempting to cut out of our schools. So, and that's why our live performance piece incorporates all art, from instrumentation to the simple beat. So, you know, we want to show that it's all relevant, it's all important, and it's, you know, it's all a skill and it's all interactive, but we need to really help preserve our arts, because arts help in understanding and engaging arts help students to learn. It helps them in their learning ability and the comprehension, and... yeah, you know, that's just part of what we need. So I just hope we, you know, as a byproduct, help people understand, you know, how important art is, and that we have a goal to develop well-rounded people. You know, it's, I know sometimes we feel so much because our people are known for, you know, entertainment and sports, that they feel, you know, the academic side gets neglected, but you know, we want to be full, well-rounded people, And as much as we feel that we're known for art and entertainment, I mean, for entertainment and sports, when it comes to the fine art, we're not. And we don't bring up and we don't teach that. We don't teach about visual artists. You know, I know many, you know, African Americans with degrees in art, but who cannot tell you the significant black artists, you know, from the Harlem Renaissance who, you know, helped make black art what it is. You know, those people who have, and they've impacted the entire art industry, but, you know, just those things we hope, you know.
Well, speaking about foreign artists,
Charles Bibbs.
My attention. Yeah, we've got Charles Bibbs is one of our endorsers, and Charles Bibbs is one of the first artists that started doing, Digital original?
It's not so much, he wasn't the first artist to do digital art, but when Charles Bibbs did it, his artwork was so popular. And in the fine arts realm, you know, when sometimes when you get to fine art and when you get to certain levels, sometimes it's spoken word and all, you know, and since they can be kind of bougie on the academia side, but, you know, what they happen to do is they have a tendency, you know, there's certain air. So when they say an artist does an original, it's supposed to be a direct process, that there's nothing between the artist and the canvas. So when Charles Bibbs started doing computer-generated images, and then he did limited editions, and they would sell out, and for what he sold it for, he rocked the art world. Not just the black, the entire art world. So there became this big debate as to whether Charles Bibbs was actually a fine artist. But he is one. He is right now the most popular black artist of our time. So his popularity just kept growing. People pay for his work, have no problems. You will go to art shows, and this will be some of the only limited editions and, you know, pieces that are 700 to 1500 to two, that people are just walking out the doors with. And they're still trying to fight to get people to understand the value of original. So, you know, at first it was this whole big debate, but then they, at a certain point, they could not dispute the validity of his work. So it's not so much that he's the first one to do it, but it's the popularity of his work and when he did his limited editions and, you know, what they sold for, he just brought in a whole new opportunity in black art. And a lot of art, not just black art, and art period. And a lot of artists followed it, followed his path.
So, David, I know the Bay Area is famous for artists and for culture. I remember in the 70s going up to Berkeley to all the different jazz clubs and art exhibits that they have there. And what is it? Market Street in San Francisco, where they have all the art galleries. You can walk down the art galleries.
Yeah, Market Street is changing right now. They have Market Street designated for more art, where a lot of the storefronts have actually closed down on Market Street, and they're gear marked for reopening, but the storefronts are not going to be storefronts anymore. They're going to be places, art studios. They have a lot of technology buildings and businesses that's going up. Twitter just bought a building in San Francisco where they moved one of the city's offices, bought them out, and they moved in. So the whole Market Street area is changing. Even in south of Market, they have incentives for artists to move into those areas and have reductions on loans, reductions on rent. So it's a lot of activity. And the city of San Francisco expect art and technology to boost the economy, and that's why a lot of jobs are coming to San Francisco, and that's the importance of the Urban Tech Fair, because Jim is one of the main ones that, you know, I love to go to the Urban Tech Fair and see posts from Jim about coding and how you don't have to be a certain type of individual to code, and how developers of code are being hired from many different companies, no matter what kind of background you have, and the salaries are, you know, it's not a low-paying job, so you could compete with your salary and be able to live and provide a decent sense of security for yourself and your family just based on coding. And those two things go together. That's what just made me think about Jim and his post that he put up. And I don't know how he does it, but I could really rely on Jim with those posts.
God, no, that's his digital drumming. He's been doing it for years.
Well, I don't know how he does
it. The thing that I always tell people is that it's about products of the mind, and that coding is just a language, a way to express the ideas and manifest the concepts that are stuck in your head. And essentially it's all about creativity, which again goes back to art. Art is something that you create in your mind and then manifest on canvas. Well, as Jackie was just talking about Charles Biff, you can manifest it in ones and zeros. You can manifest it digitally and then market it and sell all over the world electronically at the click of a button. This is the future. You know, I've been talking to a lot of record executives lately, and I'm telling them that the app economy is where the music record industry was in the 50s, where it's just getting ready to blow up. I did a post the other day where worldwide record sales were at $15 billion. Worldwide app sales are at $30 billion. Now, what does that tell you? So, you know, that's just the future, whether we're talking about the new cars that are coming with hot zones, the new electronics that are coming with embedded apps, whether we're talking about the new smart homes. Everything is taking an app to run it. Nobody's buying PCs anymore. Even Windows 8 is based on an app iOS, an app operating system, versus a standard DOS system.
Isn't Chromebook the same way as well?
Yes, yes, Chrome same way as well.
Yeah, I'm getting to know those systems. So, yeah, there's a lot out there. And the one thing you talked about, Jim, I know Jason Moore, he's supposed to be helping cover the area about using art to, you know, help expand your creativity, which is needed in, you know, innovation and technology. So, you know, in order to, you know, to be innovative, to see, you know, all the different kind of things that could be possible, what's imaginable, you do need a creative mind, and you know, and art helps, you know, breed and, you know, grow our creativity, which again is necessary skill in technology.
Oh yeah, Jackie, I was thinking about even the platform. That's why a lot of people like P. Diddy, Russell Simmons, and Spike Lee is moving away from the big record companies now, because even on YouTube, you can have upload a full feature film, and you can monetize that film by having overlays, text ads, you know, and receive money. And then the algorithms with Google, the algorithms with YouTube, the amount of users, that all helps to boost your promotion, promoting your activity. And a lot of people are making a lot more money being independent than trying to go for the big record companies now. So that's why those music moguls are jumping in on the ground floor. I've been listening to them.
Yes, well, that's definitely true. I mean, first of all, you know, when it comes to artists, and not necessarily, I don't know if these mucus moguls, they're the ones, I think they just, you know, they may also just be looking for new, you know, territory to conquer. But a lot of artists themselves, they, you know, a lot, most artists are purpose driven. You know, they have a specific, you know, golden focus, and sometimes commercialism can, you know, make them sell out, for, you know, their art, because they're saying, well, you know, everybody's not buying. But, you know, that's such a relative term, you know, that's such a perception, you know, because if they push things and then they get, oh, if we tell enough people that this is popular, they'll believe it and then they'll buy it and they'll only buy these type of things. But I know, like, my goal with part of with the youth that I work with on the Master Griot Project or Master Griot Radio and the Rewind Out Loud, which is now partnering with the Urban Tech Fair, one of the things I want to teach young people is you don't have to accept what mainstream tells you is good music. That there are people you know right around you now who produce good music of any kind and type, and all you need to do is just support what they do. When you hear it, share it, tweet it, you know, purchase it. And then if you tell your friends this is hot and they tell their friends, then you have the opportunity to break music. And you don't just have to sit and wait for what someone else is telling you is good music. You can actually be driven by what you like. And it's, you know, it's really necessary. But, and it helps a lot of artists, because I know a few artists that were major that vow they will never go major again. And then, what's his name? Eric. He's a well-known artist that never went major. And but he does shows and everything. He's out of Jersey. I can't remember his last name. But, you know, there are some artists whose focus has only been independent, and they've been able to make a living. And this has actually been for years. But we're finally, and then what happened with the change in the music industry, to be honest, because it changed, they just weren't making money the same way, and they had to find another way to capitalize off the industry. So it was like, it was almost necessary for them to learn how to use these other platforms, because, as you stated, this is where the future is. So if they don't learn it and they don't learn how to, you know, capitalize from it and how to use it to their advantage, you know, they're literally going to be lost, because, you know, the sales just weren't there, you know, under traditional music format. Jim, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I had you on mute. I'm here on the coast of the airport, and these planes flying over, so I just put everybody on mute so I wouldn't disrupt the show. Hello? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying that I had it on mute because of the planes passing over. But, you know, art is crucial to really what's happening. What's happening in the digital world. You all have to forgive me. I've got some, seeing some family members also. You hear these little remarks in the background. You know how family treats you.
But see, you know, that's the greatness of being able to do a show on a late Sunday night with somebody in the Los Angeles area, someone in San Francisco, and someone in Philadelphia. And so that's just shit. We're right in your neighborhood, right, Jim?
That's right. In your backyard. Some,
yeah. So, That's exciting. I'm excited about the art and tech team. You know, I'm excited about David. As you said, he's always been there, and you know, he's, you know, always supported, and he, you know, he brought out his interest, and so I'm so glad that he's, you know, spearheading this art and tech movement. You know, I think it's he's the right person to do it.
And David, believe it or not, Jackie is your biggest cheerleader. When we were trying to decide which 10 cities were going to be listed, she said, there's no way we're not going to list the Bay Area. As much as David's put into this project and this organization, the Bay Area has got to be one of our target sites.
Well, I got to attribute all that, you know, all that comes from you guys. When the first time that I heard about the Urban Tech Fair, I became interested in it's the Jim with his digital drummer. I mean, he keeps the drumming, and Jackie, she keeps everything going, and I can see and I feed off you guys' energy, and I know that things are something doesn't happen overnight, but the building of Urban Tech Fair and the organization of Urban Tech Fair that you guys put together is something that I actually believe in. So it's you guys brought me to believe in it. So it's nothing about me, but it's all about you guys. And that's why I like to give you guys credit, because Jim gives me a constant reminder. Every time I look up, I see some great information that's helpful to everybody about how technology is fueling the future, and we could become part of it. So I just really want to thank you guys for allowing me to just, you know, team up with you and just be a part of it. So I'm excited.
Well, as we always say about the spirit of Ubuntu, we are because of all of you. When Jackie was going down your credentials at the beginning of the show in terms of the music industry and the videos that your company does, I mean, I am just amazed at the level of talent and professionalism that we have involved. It amazes me every day. But before we close out, Dave, because the show is being archived on YouTube, please tell people how to contact you and how to do business with you, how to reach out to you directly.
Okay, to reach out to me, I don't have a website, but I do have some pages on Facebook and a phone number that I could be reached. But you could either message me on Black Men Music and Entertainment. It's a page on Facebook, and there's also a group that's there, because that's one of the projects that I'm working on for that hopefully will be part of Urban Tech Fair in the upcoming months to help promote positive music. And I can always be reached at 415-424-9856.
Okay. And for those that are interested in helping us on the art and tech team, if you'd like to volunteer with the art and tech team, because we need you, you see we have like four whole areas we have to cover, so we could definitely use all the support. Just go to www.urbantechfair.org. Again, that's www.urbantechfair.org. And click on join. If you've already joined our email list, it's okay. Just update your information. And there you can, you know, check off that you want to be on the art and tech team, and then we can connect with you. I'm pretty sure we will probably will have a conference meeting by next week. You think so, David?
Yeah, I hope so. We definitely are ready. I think there's some more people that signed up. I saw on the Urban Tech Fair site that they were going to participate, so I look forward to that.
Yes, yes. So we, so if anyone out there interested, just click on join at urbantechfair.org, and or even if you have joined the email list, just update it with the necessary information. If you joined it, it will just update your profile. So we're just excited to have everyone here. We're excited about the Urban Tech Fair. We are really moving forward. I just suggest to everyone, whether it's the art and tech team or if you want to be on the IT team, the web team, if you want to be on a city team or a city leader, or you just want to be a part of the Urban Tech Fair, again, just join at urbantechfair.org. You will really be part of history in the making. We are moving forward. It's such an exciting time. This is such an exciting time. And I want to give a quick shout out to LA team. Go LA, go Vegas, go OKI and Herschel.
Oh, let me say this real quick while you giving a shout out to the OKI. I got a text message that the OKI will be funded next week. So one of our regions, if they get funded, they have a deal with Cincinnati School System through Cincinnati Change to do one child, one laptop. But that program will include funding not only for Cincinnati, but for the Bay Area, for Philadelphia, for L.A., and a majority of our cities as well.
All right. Yeah. Double shout out to Herschel and OKI. Yay. Yeah, so, and that just shows, I just want to speak to that, to the collaborative spirit that the Urban Tech Fair is. We understand we have to upgrade one another. And so, you know, as one move forward, you know, we all move forward. And so that's, the Urban Tech Fair is definitely pure collaboration. And go Philly. Philly, we're really going to be doing this, you know, especially once I get my computer back. What I'm going to do, I'm calling you, State Representative Thomas. I'm calling you on Monday. I'll be talking to his assistant, but I'm really going to ask him, even until I get all that done, I will go down to his office and just do the work.
Oh,
so it's done there. We have our meeting set
too.
Up.
Jackie, do you have any plans to go to D.C. for the Congressional Congress? The Black Caucus. Yeah.
No, we'll be just getting back from North Carolina. I'm taking my mom to North Carolina. You know, I had to take my mother with me, so.
Well, one of our reps here, Reverend Williams, who's on the L.A. Urban Tech Fair organizing team, has put together a tech tea during the Congressional Black Caucus featuring FCC Chairman Calhoun, the sister that is running the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, right now as the temporary chairman. She will be available one-on-one for people to talk with at the technology tea during the Black Congressional Caucus. So
if you would email that information to info@urbantechfair.org, Jim, I will get it over to State Rep because he will be at the Black Caucus. State Rep will be there.
Okay, great,
Shaka,
yeah.
All our Philly people will be there, and I can let Congressman Shaka Fatah can let his office know. He's one of our big people that pushes education. State Rep's a big person known to push education and technology. And, you know, we have a few people, but I can let at least the Philadelphians know that are doing work
they're giving us a table of 10. So we're trying to represent for the Urban Tech Fair with the FCC, let them know we're out there promoting and supporting what our president is trying to do with all the different programs he's using for this broadband initiative.
Okay, and maybe I can get, you know, we have Eileen Gadsden on the Philly team, Norm Bond, and Eileen was the Philadelphia president, so for BDPA and Norm, so maybe I can get one of them to actually specifically go and represent, but then also see, because I know State Rep, all of them will be there, So, but please pass it on, and we will. I'll pass it on, and Philadelphia will be represented.
All right.
Okay, everyone, David, I don't know if you know. Well, yes, he's listened to the show many times, but you know we have 1 minute before we close. So to David and then to Jim, you guys can close out. We'll start with David and close out with you, Jim. You have 30 seconds and the whole world listening.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be part of the Urban Tech Fair and us combining the art and music and technology together and putting this show on. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and thank you for having me, Jackie and Jim.
All right. Thank you.
All right. The Urban Tech Fair is based on the primary strategies that have made Silicon Valley so successful, which is collaboration and sharing. We're all about collaborating together, working together as a community, and sharing the knowledge and resources, and through that, we will all succeed.
Okay. So we'll see everyone in 2 weeks, same place, same time, and have a great day and great week.